We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Come on, son.
What's up, all my podcast people out there? It is your boy Ed Lover, and it's time for another Come On Son the podcast. And guess who is joining me as my special guest interviewer, my homegirl from the Ed Lover Show with Moni Love, that can be heard all around this country. Moni Love, what up, Mo?
Just make sure you got my Darjeeling tea on deck. Thank you very much.
Whatever kind
of
tea.
And my crackers and Irish cheddar. I like Irish cheddar on my crackers.
Do you see what kind of bullshit I had to go through to get this woman
to come
and sit down?
And then after that, I'm going
to
stay long enough so you can order lunch. I want fish and chips.
Oh, this is some bullshit.
Authentic fish and chips,
this
all right?
This is some straight bullshit.
Just make sure you got it all.
All right, let me give you the backstory. I wanted for a really long time to get down and sit down, and have an interview with my man Chubb Rock. So I called Mo. Me and Mo work together every day. I was like, Mo, you guys do the alumni shit together. You're always on the road together. Can you help me get Chubb Rock? So she helped me get Chubb Rock. Chubb Rock is I guess, on this here podcast. And Moni bribed me with, I mean, I had, you know, just get all kind of fucking demands, y'all.
Fish and chips, Darjeeling tea, crackers, water crackers, with Irish cheddar.
Fucking cheddar.
Exactly.
And where am I supposed to get you Irish cheddar from?
I don't give a fuck where you get it from. You just import it so it's there.
Mo, this is Atlanta. It ain't that many Irish people here.
That's what all right.
So I'm having a hard time finding Irish cheddar. I can get you regular sharp cheddar.
No, if I wanted regular shot, I would have fucking said that, wouldn't I?
Mo, the point is Chubb Rock, okay? That's the point. The point is Chubb. Okay, one of the most prolific MCs who has probably the best diction of any MC I've ever heard in my life. And you know what was astounding about Chubb, too? I'm going to get you your Irish fucking cheddar.
Thank you. Okay.
What's astounding about Chubb Rock to me is that he was one of the heavier guys that were taken seriously.
Right.
Like him and Heavy D.
There's only a few.
Biggie. Mm-hmm. Like, these are the guys that kicked open the door for Biggie and for Pun to be taken seriously as MCs. Because before that, we all loved the Fat Boys, but they were pretty much a novelty group.
Right.
You know what I mean? Right. They tried to turn it around later on in their careers when it was a little too late. But their stuff was about all you can eat, going to jail without the bail for food. Mm-hmm. Don't you dog me. Like, can you feel it? Like, you know, a lot of their stuff was novelty, the twist and all of that stuff. And by the time the Fat Boys tried to turn it around and be taken seriously as MCs, it was too late.
Right.
But when Heavy D came through, that's right, right?
Mm-hmm.
When Heavy D came through, Heavy D didn't get, he came off with, I'm heavy, I'm Heavy D, but I'm still cool.
Right.
And girls still love me.
Right.
And when Chubb Rock came through, he came through when I'm chubby, but I'm intelligent and listen to my rhymes and listen to the way I put it down. So it's kind of like an honor and a privilege for me to have Chubb Rock and to have you here with me during this interview on Chubb Rock, because you know Chubb extremely well.
Yes, it is a fucking pleasure for you to have me on here, right? And that's why it's going to be a lovely show, and I'm going to share my crackers and cheese and my tea. I'm going to share all the good stuff, all right? And just know that if I had you on anything I was doing, I would get whatever you asked me to get. So just know that.
All right. All right. I got your Irish cheddar.
Thank you very much.
All right. So, ladies and gentlemen, this is Come On, Son, the podcast. Moni Love is here from the Ed Lover Show with Moni Love and my man Chubb Rock. Our compadre, our brother, not only in hip-hop, but in radio, starting all the way from New York at Power 105. And now, well, he was in the ATL before me and Moni were in the ATL.
Right.
But now we are all still part of the same family. The one and only Chubb Rock is in the building.
Yeah!
The Chubb Star. Word up. The Chubb Star.
Yes.
What up, Chubb?
Chilling, man. When I came to radio, I came under Ed Lover. He was doing mornings, Power 105. Moni was doing weekends. I actually learned from Moni. I used to come in. She don't remember.
Yes, I
used to come
in
and watch her do the boards. So I'm a student. I'm a student of the two of them. So it's a great thing to.
It is a pleasure. It is a pleasure to have you here, my brother.
Yeah, man. It's a blessing. Yeah.
We see you all the time.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yo, crazy. Like, who's more classic than Chubb Rock? Like, are you kidding me?
What happened is Krista. I went to Krista and said, hey, man, I really should be on the show.
Our executive producer, y'all.
And Krista said, man, get out of here, man. She smacked me. She hit me. Nah, it was all love.
It's a beautiful thing. Let's go back for a minute and talk about the early days of Chubb Rock.
Yeah.
What did you hear that bit you and made you decide to become an MC?
A good friend of mine named Dave Witt, he was brilliant, man. I'm telling you, no one couldn't tell me that he didn't invent hip-hop. We were like 14, and he came to me with this, I don't know, might have been however long one side of a cassette is. I can't remember how long that is, but...
Well, it depends if you 60-minute or the 90-minute. Yeah, the 90-minute.
Or the 30-minute. The 30-minute is 15 each side. Yeah. 60 is 30 each side. The 90 is like... Wow.
He had a whole cassette of Good Times looping.
Wow.
And he did it with a pause button. Because we didn't have no sample.
Yep.
That's right.
And he did it on one channel, and then he put his rhyme on the second channel. And we were 14. And I was like, what planet is Sun from? And it just bit me there. And then my cousin Howie T, who was my mentor, him and Doc Ice from UTFO, we're from Flatbush. And Howie was... producing for UTFO. He was producing for Full Force, and it's my aunt's house, so, you know.
Now, where was you? Crown Heights or Flatlands?
No.
Or any of them? You was all?
We was in Flatbush. All of us was in Flatbush. UTFO, right. Full Force, myself, Little Sean, Special Ed. We're all the Flatbush. Bush
Got
Babies.
It. Okay.
And Buster.
Right.
Everybody was from Flatbush. So that was the crew. Howie's one of the main DJs and one of the main producers, man. And so anyway, when he did that, Howie and them had his own group called CD3. We Know the World is Rough, so get tough. This is before your time. CD3, We Know the World is Rough, so get tough.
Right.
And they were nominated for the first New York Hip Hop Awards. It was, Chuck Leonard was the host. And
V.I.M.G. Wow. Chuck Leonard from New York, legendary New York radio guy.
Yeah, man. And I begged him. I said, man, please, can I come see you guys? And he was like, yo, how are we going to get you in? You only 16 or whatever. And I said, man, whatever I got to do. And Baby Girl for Spike Lee's movie, She's Gotta Have It, who played Nola Darling, she handled the door. She was the person at the door, and she had a crush on my other cousin, Howie's brother, and they snuck us in. And we got a chance to see Fearless Four for the first time, Rockmaster Scott for the first time. What was to become the Force MDs, the Force MCs, which was just the two brothers.
Dr. Rock and the Force MCs. That's
Force
right.
Force MCs and Pebbly Poonam with Master Don and the Funk Committee, CD3, and Dougie Fresh before any record, because all he did was up there beatboxing numbers and tore the place apart.
Wow.
He was wearing a red and black lumberjack shirt.
Like I'm on today. Hello.
And I'm like, yo.
The same shirt, matter of fact.
This is what I need to do. And when we left there and we were on the train going back to Brooklyn, we started that night. First of the lyrics was horrible, and we just kept going and did the due diligence, and then one day, and I'm not gonna say the group because this happened for me a bunch of times. A group asked me to write something for them, and they used it, which I was shocked. And so then Howie started having
this
me
is,
write
this
people.
This is ancient history, Chubb. I think we can tell
who the
group was without embarrassing them.
Because it went from there to other groups, to some soloists that y'all all love. Howie had me writing for a lot of people.
What is so taboo about this, Chubb?
And back in our day, you really needed to write your own stuff.
Exactly, you did. But what does it matter now?
Man, there was an album. I wrote the whole album.
All right, tell us the album, Chuck. Come on, album.
Well, that,
come on,
I can
Chuck.
Tell you that one because that album didn't come out.
All right.
I wrote the whole Finesse Quince album.
Finesse Cinquest.
Yeah,
Cinquest. For Uptown.
But we
Uptown.
Knew
and
they
I put,
didn't.
And I put Lady of Rage on that album. That was the birth of Lady of Rage.
Oh, wait, stop. Stop. Cut him off, Ed. That's a whole nother thing. He found Rage. He yeah. found Rage.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Her name was Rockin' Robin when I found her.
She, wow.
Her name was Rockin' Robin, and it was funny because I put her on the album because she was working at Chung King, and every time I'd pass the desk, she was writing. I said, what are you writing? She said, rhymes. And she said one to me. I said, come on, let's go. And she was like, no, I haven't done this before. I've never, come on. So we put on the Finesse Quince album. And it was funny because on the Finesse Quince album, I wrote this record called Grill. And Grill was this big posse record. I wrote Puffy's first rhyme. So I throw that one out there because he doesn't mind that.
Wow.
So wrote Puffy's first rhyme because he was the A&R of the project and wrote the rest of the album. And we had Search on the album, Third Base, mm-hmm. the whole Third Base crew. Everybody was on
Was that
there.
Back to the Grill again?
No.
No,
see,
no.
It was called Grill.
Okay.
When the album never came out, because my brother, rest in peace, Heavy D, wanted that song.
Okay.
So Heavy was like, no, take everybody off. I want that song. So it's like, nah, man, we already got paid for this song because I put together the track master.
Right.
Okay.
And we was like, we already did this album. There's no reason to take, I could do you a different song. I'll make you a different song.
He wanted that one.
He wanted that song.
So what
song.
Did that song turn into?
When Andre Harrell, who's in a serious situation, ended that album. That's when Search said, I can't make that song die, so we're going to call it Back to the Grill Again.
Okay.
And wait. That featured a young man by the name of Nas.
Nas.
This is legendary stuff we're talking. Go ahead, Mo.
Okay.
Yeah.
I have questions.
Yeah.
All right. Look, you said that one particular song that was supposed to be called The Grill,
wind
up not coming out. It got, you guys wind
and
up doing
this is after the source gave it 4.5
okay.
months.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then it winds up doing something with a posse cut called Back to the Grill Again.
Yeah.
But what happened to the original that Heavy D wanted? Did that turn into a song for Heavy D?
No. What happened was when the whole situation really went haywire at Uptown. And I think Andre just felt forced to say, let's just start over. Do something different. And we're going to get Chubb to work on some heavy stuff. And we're going to get him and to do some stuff with So For Real and a young Faith Evans when Albie Shore had played the stuff for me or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But it never turned into a song that Heavy was going to use. But then Search refused to make it die.
Right.
And he was like, Chubb, let them sue me, man. We're going to do Back to the Grill Again.
So who's on Back to the Grill Again?
I put Red Hot Lover Tone from Trackmasters
yep.
on there. I'm on there.
Mm-hmm.
Search, obviously, mm-hmm. Minister Pete Nice, and
yep.
then Nas.
Okay.
So when he played me the Nas joint, he played me a rhyme. He said, Chubb, I really need something to bring this guy out here. And I said, yo, put him on the song, man, you know, because Def Jam was doing craziness anyway, because then Russell came to me and wanted me to write for a few other people on Def Jam, which I did. And
so I'm trying to, you know, my head is like reeling through the Rolodex in my head, like trying to think who was signed to Def Jam at that time that he could possibly have written for, because he's not going to tell us.
Yeah, because we wrote so many things and then, because we felt, I never felt.
Father that, MC.
I never felt, no, Sean.
Sean, I know, wrote for Father MC.
Yeah. I never felt that I was going to really do well making records. I always thought I'd be better as a writer.
Really?
And a producer and stuff like that. That's what I felt. So that's why.
This how is we after, over, after Treat 'Em Right, after.
They had to force me to go do
EPMD.
Records. No.
Okay.
They had to force me to do records because I can write whatever I want. I can be in any style I want and no one would know the best.
The Beastie Boys.
I have nothing to say.
Okay.
You know, uh-huh. I didn't really think I wanted to do records and stuff like that. My mother and Howie said, yo, you got to do a record and you can't just keep giving this music away. Me and my boy Elliot Ness was in the basement, keep working on these records. Like when we did Little Sean's Heartbreak Hotel, they wanted me to do that record. I said, no. Sean need a record. And this was like my little brother. And I said, yo, Sean, you do this record, man.
It's my ex-boyfriend.
Women are gonna love you and the record, you know, became like a big record in New York City and and stuff like that. So I always felt hip hop as an artist wasn't going to be for me. And then my mother funded the first couple of records.
Oh, that's so awesome.
Because she didn't believe in these labels and she was Jamaican and she, yeah, she, How much it costs to do this? How much?
That's what the thing that always struck me about you was, because I know that you're of Jamaican descent.
Yeah.
And I was going to ask you, was that a stretch for you to go into hip hop and not go into dancehall reggae? Because I know you can do both.
Yeah, because we had uncles that was playing that music, and I was like, well, I don't think hip hop people are going to really go into the whole mixture of reggae music like that. We tried it with just the two of us, and even though the record did very well and went number one, people kept saying, what is he saying in the record? And I don't know what he's saying. And, you know, so I was like, okay, let's not do too much of this. And then Barrington Levy was close with my family, and he was like, nah, man, you have to show your roots and do this and that. And but then again, we were just, like I said, we were just writing, man, like writing. Al B. Shaw came, and I wrote stuff on his album. I've been on every Al B. Shaw album. We did Tevin Campbell. I wrote two of those records, Just Ask Me To. Quincy Jones still owes me my platinum plaque, which I still haven't gotten yet. And then Daddy-O put us on a couple of soundtracks, like when...
Stetsasonic!
No.
I'm only yelling out people that you think Chubb Rock wrote for a whole lot of thought, man.
Let me tell you the biggest mistake I made in hip-hop, if you want.
Yes, I would love to know this.
My mom funded the record, and she said, yo, you find out all this stuff. I don't know the American this, that, and the third, but you find out. So I had to go run around and figure out, okay, how do I get the record pressed up and all this other kind of stuff. So the record was caught up. And pressed up the record over here in Long Island City, I'm sorry. Place over there near this halfway house, pressed up the record, and then I said, I don't know what to do with this record. I'm going to just run around. Bumped into Red Alert. I said, yo, I got this record. You don't know me, blah, blah, blah. He said, I'm going to tell you like I tell everybody. If it's dope, I'm playing it. If it's whack, I'm not playing it.
Oh, the good old days.
Absolutely.
Oh.
And I said, I gave Red Alert 3 records he never played.
And I said, thank you, sir.
And in hindsight, they were whack.
And I said, thank you, sir. I gave him the record. Uh-huh. And then he said, go to Marley, this, that, and the third, blah, blah. I said, I don't know him, but I'm going to just wait outside BLS. And he came out. I'll never forget it. He was driving, at the time, the Land Cruiser, I think it was. This big Land Cruiser. Well, it seemed big back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
And I gave him the record, and they started playing. So all of a sudden, it was man, beep, woman, beep, and the record took off. And then Biz got me a show at a place called Sensations in New Jersey. Hood spot like crazy.
Where, ladies and gentlemen, in Newark, New Jersey, Club Sensations, where the DJ at the time was
Reggie
none
Noble.
Other than Reggie Noble, Red Man.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I would see him, and Red said to me, anthem in. And we played there every weekend for about 2 months. I was like, yo, they gotta be tired of this. And they were never tired of it. And if you knew Sensation had all these different rooms.
Yeah.
Oh my God, that's too funny.
And so then I was like, I'm not getting the record to the stores properly, because I'm not no record company.
Mm-hmm.
And they're calling my house and they're saying, we need these amount of records here, we need it here, and this record store don't have. I'm like, record store? I just gave it to these DJ cats. I don't know nothing about record stores. And then Fred Mineo called, because me, Little Sean, and Terry T went to a battle. And the winner of the battle was going to get a contract with Tommy Boy. We won that battle.
Oh.
It was the three of us. And we were a group. And we won that battle.
But name of the group was?
Splash.
Okay.
It was me, Little Sean, Terry T.
I don't like that name.
Don't like it either. We won that battle. We didn't like the contract. We didn't do it.
Oh, okay.
So then Fred came and said, I want this record, and it's the deal I want to do. So my mother was like, I never forget the meeting, man. My mother said, man, she's like, I paid for this record. So we're getting how many points on it? No. So we're about to leave. He said, okay, let's do a 50-50. She said, okay, I paid for the record. This is my son. I gave birth to him. 50? No, I don't like that deal. So we got the deal right. And I don't know how many people had that deal, but our deal
probably
was 65-35.
Wow.
But we ain't sell a lot of records, so it didn't make a difference to me. We ain't really sell a lot of records. So that record sold maybe 15,000, but it was enough for us to get an album with him.
Gotcha.
And when we did the album, the hit on that album was Your Bad Chubs. And that had all the young people in it. Young Mona Scott was one of the dancers.
Wow.
Say that again.
Mona Scott was one of the dancers because she was a student of Hot Dog.
Right.
Hot Dog was one of her teachers in dancing. So we had Mona Scott. We had Michael Michelle, big actress. She was one of the dancers. Wesley Snipes was one of the dancers.
They were all dancing, yes.
Yeah.
Don Cheadle was dancing back then, too.
Yeah, we never had a chance to get him. But he was supposed to be in Treat 'Em Right video, and we just never got him. But, you know, so then we started getting a couple of things, man. The record sold 100, maybe 100,000.
Mm-hmm.
And then Russell wanted to, that's like, That's when I started writing, and Russell wanted the whole vibe.
How did you become synonymous with Q-Dawgs?
All of those records, I was in college making all of those records. So
okay.
These records only got made on the weekends or when we came.
What school did you go to?
Brown.
Okay.
So we, because it was in Rhode Island, it wasn't that far to drive.
What was your major?
I was an idiot. I was trying to be a doctor at the time, and it was the wrong thing to do. My father threatened me into that situation.
Go ahead. All right.
Dr. Chubrock.
Yeah, that quantitative analysis was ridiculous. So all of my friends, Hot Dog was in college. Dinky was in college. Doc No was in college. My brother Rob Swinger in college. So we would only get together on the weekend.
Okay.
There was no line at Brown at the time, but there was a line in all these other schools. So anyway, the Q's came. They hopped in the video. I had gotten a lot of flack from it because my cousin, Howie's brother, was a Kappa. My cousin was a Sigma. You know, I just got all this flack like, yo,
well,
the next video,
yeah.
Everybody need to be in there.
Man, so listen.
Everybody was in there. The AKAs was in there. The Deltas was in there. Zetas was in there. Everybody was in there. And then because our movement was a college movement, when we did Soul Train, I had to ask my father's permission, go do Soul Train and come right back to school. And Hot Dog had to ask his father. Everybody had to ask their father. So
wow.
We were sitting up in the room for Soul Train, because Soul Train ain't but 3.5 sizes of this room. We were trying to tell the producer, man, we got a flight at 4:00, got to get back, got to go to school in the morning. And Don Cornelius didn't like hip hop.
Right.
And he was like, oh, these hip hop guys are giving trouble. And we went to him and said, sir, we got to get on. Because he would shoot multiple shows. So it was like a long line of people.
Hattie LaBelle
was there.
Yeah, man, yeah.
All these people were there waiting to shoot their part.
Yep.
And
right.
He was like, we got to skip all these people, sir. And he was like, why? We don't be on the show. We're in school. And then, what school? We're in college. He didn't believe it. He was like, yo, we got our IDs on us, man. You want me to get my phone?
So you got a hit record, and you're on Soul Train and still in college.
We're still in college, man.
Wow.
And he was like, y'all are in school. Y'all are kids. And he was like, yeah, man, we got to get up out of here. You know, my father is... His cheese slipped off his crack a long time ago. And he was like, all right, we're going to get you on. And if you watch Soul Train, he says it when he brings us on. Here's some guys that got to go back to school. And so we go, we do Soul Train, and he invited us back maybe 2 times after that. And he got us on the Arsenio Hall show.
Oh,
he
wow.
Because we didn't chart. He got us on the Arsenio Hall show. Love you, Don.
Wow.
Because, yeah, we want an independent label, so we
right.
Have no way of charting, man. Nothing. We couldn't beat Def Jam and all the labels.
Now, Chubb, you have a song that is directly connected to a Black History moment.
Yeah.
And I want to talk about it. And it's actually my favorite line out of Treat 'Em Right.
The thing about never
Yusef
forget
Hawkins.
Yusef Hawkins.
Yep.
Yeah. What happened, I was living in Fort Greene at the time and when he got killed. And
what was that, August 89?
Yeah.
Yep.
And
Yusef Hawkins, for all those who don't know, was a young man who was in...
He was the Trayvon Martin of the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Basically.
Way before Trayvon Martin. He was chased by a white crowd of people in...
Bensonhurst.
No, it was Queens, right?
No,
it was
Bensonhurst.
Bensonhurst.
Yeah. He was chased by a crowd of people in Bensonhurst and was killed.
He was supposedly shouldn't have been in the
Yeah, quote-unquote, shouldn't have been in the neighborhood.
And kind of an Emmett Till kind of situation.
Mm-hmm.
And,
right.
So when we're in Fort Greene and people are hitting on my door, yo, Rich, this happened. I'm like, what? Nah, that's impossible, man. Now? And then I was writing a song one day, and it wasn't a song that was supposed to be made. And put the line in there. Because Treat 'Em Right was really about bootlegging a lot of times.
Mm-hmm.
It was about,
really?
It was about bootlegging, and it was about what I thought would have been the destruction of Black music because of bootlegging. So if you see the video and we're knocking over the table with all the CDs.
Right.
But then I needed to throw that line in there about Yusef Hawkins and...
Wait, let me just say, racial gang causes pain. Need a new rap. In your hearts and minds, never forget
Yusef
Hawkins. And when you walk in, you don't just run. Black on black, remember that. It's important.
It was, you know, there was just a time. You know, when I bump into the young boys now, I always tell them, if you listen to these songs are timestamps of what was going on. So if you listen to that song, you know, oh, this got to be around 89, 90, because this is when this young man was killed.
Because when you Wikipedia Yusef Hawkins, references, you're one of the references.
Yeah, because...
And Treat 'Em Right, the song, is one of the references. So yourself along with Public Enemy.
Public Enemy, when they did a whole...
Video
block
shoot.
Block party and everything about it in Fort Greene. And
because he fight was the power video,
absolutely,
because yeah, right, he was from Fort Greene, Youssef, and now they're making a movie, a documentary, about it, which is going to be very, very serious, actually. But you know, we've had this problem. So when they talk about Youssef now and Freddie Gray now, we had our Youssef Hawkins and we had Eleanor Bumpers and we had all these other kinds of things. And but these young guys don't stamp that. You can't. 20 years from now, if you go back and you listen to some of these young guys, you're not going to hear Youssef and this
and
you're
Trayvon
not
hear, and Freddie.
Right, you're not
going to
hear
these.
Yeah, you're not going to hear their timestamp. You can listen and hear timestamps of certain things in these older hip-hop records. Because if they're the CNN of the community, I think it stopped right at the NWA. No one time-stamped what was going on, you know. That's why I always look forward to a Nas record or whatever, you know. But these young guys, they're not time-stamping.
Word up. You've been doing this for so long, man. And now you still do a record now and then.
Yeah, every now and then I get forced to do
what
some
you mean
stuff.
Forced? You still well,
you
it?
Are not forced. We have fun with alumni, Chubb.
No. The alumni is different. That's incredible. But the music side, I love it, man. But I always thought music was something personal for you. You know, like I said, I never thought about coming out with records. You know, when I seen Jadakiss, he came to the station. We talked, and they were like, "Oh, you know Chubb?" And he was like, "What?" This was our first guy, because I brought them up. The Locks. They weren't called The Locks then, but...
What were they called?
I can't remember the name of the group back then. Oh, what happened to these guys, the Mushmen, came to me. He was a nice guy, man, and he came to me and said, "Man, we got these guys in Yonkers, man. These guys deserve something." And they played me this stuff. I said, "Yo, these cats is dope, man." And I forgot the name of the other producer that was rocking with them out in Yonkers. Something Boogie. It was incredible. And I said, "Well, I'm working on a deal with Trackmasters for Giant Records, and we're doing this showcase. I'm gonna put Locks on it."
Mm-hmm.
And I put them on it, and we promoted the hell out of it on, you know, Hot 97 and everything, and and the showcase was very, very successful. So Giant wanted them, and I remember Styles and it was like, "Yo, you coming on to be manager?" And so I said, "Man, I ain't no manager, brother. I'm here because I thought y'all are dope. Now you can take that dopeness and go work that." You know, I knew what I'm not. You know, I'm not no manager. That's not my thing. And they never forgot that, man. They've always showed me so much love. Big shout out to the Locks when Kiss was here and Styles was here, man. We was in here hugging for like 8 minutes. People didn't know why.
That's
so
awesome.
We've been friends ever since. So,
and you've been a conduit for so many people, man.
Man, we always believed that we're supposed to help each other, man. It was people that had no reason to help me. I remember Treat 'Em Right. We couldn't get arrested with that record.
Wow.
No one wanted it. And it was a lady from MCA Records. I won't say her name because I don't know if she's still working there. And they were the big shot, and she loved that record. And she was like, "I'm going to help you." And she went and did some things to get us on KMEL's big summer jam thing.
Wow.
And she had no reason to help us. She wasn't getting no money from the record. It wasn't her responsibility. So strangers has always helped me. So I always believed them doing the same. So.
Well, my man Chubb Rock in the building, Chubb.
Yeah.
What a career, bro.
Appreciate you guys, man.
We love
Keep that classic hip hop going, man. Because
absolutely,
we need that, man. We need classic hip hop,
and we need
to just
elder
keep resonating.
Statesmen like you and Moni and all the rest of you artists to keep making that music, man.
Yeah,
hip hop don't die; it just grows up.
Yeah, I don't believe in expiration dates.
Me either.
Yeah,
Chubb Rock in the building.
This episode of Come On, Son, the podcast, is produced and engineered by co-executive producers Kimana Paulus and Krista Hayes. Recorded at Mean Street Studios in downtown Atlanta, Georgia, this is an official Loudspeakers Network podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.